We're going to try and do this much the same way as we did it yesterday. If you want to lay down and soak, that's great. So find yourself a place to go. John is going to play music behind me. I really believe that when you're laying down soaking, or you've got your eyes closed, that your heart is far more open to what God wants to say to you. If there's not room on the floor, you can lay on your seats across. They're quite comfortable.
Okay, quickly and quietly.
It's quickly all right, and just quietly. Like children.
Quickly and quietly.
Yeah.
On little girls and boys.
Yeah. Which is really good. It's the heart we want. I was thinking that you've all been blessed by the little girl that was holding the flag here. In childlikeness, you came through and you were all blessed, weren't you? Some of you don't even know what the blessing is yet, but it'll hit you at some time or other. And now I'm asking you to be childlike again, okay? Because this is about the mother heart of God. This message is probably one of the main father heart messages that impacted my life and broke my whole life open. Healing, changing everything from one person to another person. So it's a really precious message to me, and I've never spoken about it with so many people ever. Okay? So I'm going to go for it. So in God, in the very nature of God, is a mother's heart. Just think about that. Just close your eyes and think about what it would mean to you for God to have a mother's heart. And it overflows with a strange word, with storge love, which is what I will explain a bit as I go along. And that love is to comfort us in tenderness and compassion. Well, the word storge comes from the word storks. I don't know why, but they've chosen this word. And because storks are particularly loving and family-centered, they look after their young, they look after their older birds, they're just very family-centered. So storge is family love and affection. It's support and acceptance. Isaiah 66, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. You may be wondering how a father God can have a mother's heart. We find that a difficult concept and we think, well, it can't be right. But God's character and nature is made up of both masculinity and femininity. And it's difficult if your father God has always had a long white beard and been male and all the manly stuff that comes with it. But actually, he has femininity and masculinity. And that's shown in the creation of Adam and Eve. Because in Genesis 1 it says, and God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created him. So mothering relationships and mothering heart of God is not a gender issue. Talking about the mother heart of God isn't turning him into a female. It's not a gender issue. It's about relating. It's about rest and comfort. About receiving and giving. Nurture and affection. Trust. And bonding, relationship, intimacy, and communication. And all these things are restored or increased in us by experiencing the healing of the mother heart of God. think an ideal picture of a mother and father with a child describes the two attitudes of a mother and a father. If a child falls over, a mum will often pick the child up and love and comfort and say, there, you know, have a sweetie, all this stuff. Whereas a dad will pick up the child and make sure the child's fine and then off you go. Go off and go again, because that's the way the dads work. But mums do the comforting. So when you come in contact with this part of God's heart, he's not going to tell you, come on, buck your ideas up and get on. He's going to go, oh, come and be loved, come and be comforted. We can talk about rest and nurturing and trusting. I could probably do talks on each of those titles, but it's not about learning. It's about experiencing them and knowing them in your heart. We've been created to love and to be loved. And this starts very early in our lives, right from conception in the womb. Research has shown that for babies to thrive, they must feel loved. Children who've not received nurturing love find it very difficult to relate to others or to trust others. Many addictions and compulsive behaviors come through this lack of love in early childhood. In fact, orphans in places like Romania often died, not because they weren't cared for, they were clean, they were fed, but they had no loving eye contact, no nurturing love, and they just faded away. This nurturing love needed by all babies is what we call the storge love, which I just described just now. Why is this love so important? It's important because babies, all of us, we have learned to trust life and relationships and even God when we were held and cuddled and nursed by our mothers. Psalm 22. You brought me out of the womb. You made me trust you even at my mother's breast. That's where trust and trusting God starts, that early. And storge love is shown to us through affectionate touch. Touching someone appropriately and affectionately says that you're important to me. You belong. You have value. And if we haven't received this affectionate touch in the right way, we will go looking for that touch somewhere else, in wrong and maybe inappropriate ways. Or we may shy away from being touched altogether. Storge love is shown through eye contact. Love is communicated through the eyes. And if children don't see understanding and love in the eyes of their mother or their parent or their main carer, it will leave a wound that unless God heals it, will stay in you for all your life. You may feel awkward, insecure, separate, and out of place in relationships because you haven't had this loving eye contact. Maybe you've had another sort of look. Maybe your mother had a look that could floor you. Tone of voice. Babies learn to bond and trust when their parents look them in the eyes and say lovely words to them. You know how even people who are really quite tough, they see a baby and suddenly they're goo, 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 goo. And we think, why do we do that? Well, it's to do with bonding and storge love. And loving words, it encourages us, really encourages us when our parents, our mother, speaks to us with gentle, tender, empathizing words. Because the tone of voice nourishes our hearts. And it nourishes us and helps us to feel accepted and valued. And so when we've had this tone of voice in our life, we can walk free from the fear of rejection and failure. You know, people will reject you. You will get it wrong. But if you've had this storge love from your mum, it won't matter so much. You'll pick yourself up and God will comfort you and you'll go on. But if you've missed this in your life, rejection will really hurt and you won't feel that you can go on. And failure, well, you'll just think, that's it, then I've just blown it. Some of you may remember your mother's tone of voice as anything but encouraging. As a mother shows storge love to her child, a godly belief begins to form in a tiny child. That child knows that their needs will be met. You know, if I cry as a baby, my mum's going to be there. You know, if you've got grandchildren or children, when they cry, you're there. Is it a nappy? What's changing? Are you hungry? Are you cold? You check everything. But imagine a baby who cries and nobody comes. What's that going to teach you? My needs are not going to be met. And in later years, they will believe that even God won't meet that need. Now, storge love is nurturing family love. And it is shown by both your mother and your father and all your other family members. But it is primarily shown to you by your mother in the first 2 years of life. God created you to be loved. And the first love he wants you to experience is your mother's. And her love is related to you, even in the womb. So how can we really tell that babies feel anything in the womb? Because most people don't have any memory. If I asked you to describe your time in the womb, you'd go, what? Most people don't remember. But research has been done that babies do respond to their mother's thoughts. I think probably the most well-known one is with smoking. A baby will respond even as the mother thinks about having a cigarette, because the baby is affected by the smoke, you see, and gets fearful, and there's more going to come and cut off the oxygen supply. Now, you might say that's just all psychology then. We don't really know that babies respond, but we do, because John the Baptist, while he was in the womb, the Bible says he leapt when he came and met Jesus, who was also in the womb, and even much smaller in development, yet he knew. We know things in the womb only as we get older. We don't remember them. So imagine the thoughts of a mother who finds herself pregnant. It's in the early 50s. She's not married. She's already a single mum, and she's been sterilized. And she finds she's pregnant. Now, her thoughts are not going to be happy, loving, or nurturing, are they? No. She's not going to be happy. She didn't want any more children. She was not going to get married again. And this mum is not going to welcome her baby into her body, is she? Or into her life. And the baby that she carries knows these feelings of despair and rejection, because that's my story. That was my mum. And it's also been shown that in a primitive way, a baby in the womb can also make decisions to respond to love, such as babies refusing to bond with their mums when they're born. Maybe there's been a traumatic birth or something's happened and it's really upset the mum. And sometimes babies can refuse to bond with their mums. And I did. I just refused. I never did bond with my mum. Because it's very common for children who lack storge love, even from the womb or later on in your life, you blame yourself. It must be my fault that my mum doesn't love me. I must have done something wrong. I'm the wrong sex, the wrong size, come at the wrong time. All these things affect us and we think, yeah, this is my fault. Okay, all right, I'm going to try and be either as good as I can be so my mum will love me, or I'll try and make myself invisible so she won't see me. Well, what I did, I just thought, well, as my mum didn't love me, I must be unlovable. That's okay. I was born unlovable. That's who I am. That's who I'll be. And it's okay. Of course, it wasn't okay, was it? It wasn't okay. And see, until I heard this subject, I just thought it was perfectly normal to be unlovable. There's lots of people who don't respond to love. And I never questioned why I felt like this. I just knew it's true. And because I believe this ungodly belief about myself, I grew into being unlovable. And people responded to me in unlovable ways. And I had no idea what was going on in my life until the Holy Spirit gave me a very simple dream. Very simple. I was looking for the bread and wine for communion. And I knew that it was in this room. So I went into the room, and as I walked into the room, the door banged closed behind me. And the room was very dark. It was very cold, and it was very lonely. And I was petrified. I just couldn't understand why I was there. And it was just so horrible. I can't really describe it, really. And then the next picture was a light passageway, and I was curled up like a baby in the corner, and I was just crying. It shouldn't be like this. It shouldn't be like this. See, I'd been created like each one of you, been created to be loved, to be welcomed, to be loved by my mum, and she couldn't do it. So my little heart that had fresh from God was saying, it's not right, this is not right, it shouldn't be like this. Now, I wasn't sure what that dream was about. I tried to make it be anything I could think of. But I went to a John Sanford conference, and he was speaking about womb experiences. And he said, you might have had a dream like this, and he almost related my dream. I mean, it was the most fascinating thing to hear, you know, a world-famous speaker almost saying my dream out. And I just was blown away by it. Wow, that's what it was. It was a womb dream. So I realized that my dream had been my experience before I was born, because my mother's womb was dark and cold and lonely and terrifying and unwelcoming. Because that's exactly how my poor mum was feeling. You know, it's not hard to put yourself in her situation, is it? It was just a terrible time for her. And then even my birth didn't connect me to my mum, because you see, before birth, I had decided, that's it. My mum doesn't love me. My dad doesn't love me. That's okay. I'll just not ask for any. So I went on to be a very crying baby. My mum's favourite story is, when we were in Germany as a baby, she was going to drop me over the veranda because I wouldn't stop crying. And she thought she was relating a funny family story. It wasn't funny to me. And then I went on to be, a very strong-willed toddler. Because you do, don't you, when your mum doesn't really love you. And then a defiant teenager. Yep, I went out there and defied the world. And then a very miserable adult. Until this message, which is why I'm so fond of it. My mum married my dad. And in hindsight, I know she loved me. But I just decided I was unlovable. And that was it, and I believed it. And although we became friends, and even when she was ill, I would, you know, go and visit, we never had that heart-to-heart thing. We just never had it. So if you feel that from your birth you weren't welcomed, or if you experience a lack of storge love like me, does that mean you have to continue with the hurt of it? Do you have to continue to believe you're unlovable? No, you don't. There is healing. There is release. There is everything that your heart was created for. It's waiting for you. You may be glad to know that you don't have to try and rebond with your mother. You don't have to do any of that. Time has passed. And although God asks us to honor our mothers, and that's right, and we should do that, we are not asked to go back and try and regain something from childhood, but we are to allow the mother heart of God to come and reach us, to come and bond with us. So how are we going to do that? That's always the question, isn't it? Great story for me, but how is it going to work for you? Well, what happened for me was very simple. When John Sanford had finished speaking, he said, whoever had this childhood experience, stand up. Well, 200, 300 of us all stood up. And then he led us into prayers of forgiveness. So we didn't have personal ministry. It was just me and God and 300 other people. And these are some of the prayers we had to go through. I had to forgive my mum and my dad for not accepting and loving me from conception. I had to ask Father God to forgive me for rejecting and refusing to love my parents, because that was his plan for me, to love them. So, you know, I had to admit that that was a fault on my part. I had to ask forgiveness for a bad attitude towards Father God, for putting me in this family. You know, I learned, you chose this family for me, God. Did you not know? Well, I had to forgive him as well. Not that he'd done anything wrong, but, you know, if you hold something against God, it's better to release him too. I had to forgive myself for any self-rejection and self-hate, because that's exactly what I'd done. I'd rejected myself. I didn't like myself as a child. And then I had to ask the Holy Spirit to come and help me to start loving the child I was. Now that sounds a little weird, but we are all part of who we were and who we're going to be. And if we really have a part of ourselves that we don't love, we have to get back to that part and start loving it, that part of us, so we can be whole. Because how can we love other people if we don't love ourselves? Jesus says, love others as you love yourself. Well, how can you if you're fragmented? Well, you don't love bits of you. You have to be whole. And after this prayer was finished, it was just like the light went on. I realized there was nothing wrong with me. And we watched this great film. I don't suppose you've seen it. It's called The Kid. And at the end, this guy goes, I am not a loser. I don't know. That's what I wanted to say. I am not a loser. I am not unlovable. God created me lovable. I am lovable. You know, I had to keep telling myself it over a period of time, because it takes time to get back into the right way with God. Jeremiah 31 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. So Father God's affectionate mother love is reaching out to you, has reached out to you. So no matter what you felt during your life, you have never actually been alone. You may have felt very alone, but you have never actually been alone, because you were not an accident. And Father God created you and he formed you in your mother's womb. He was there from the time of your conception, and at your birth, he was ready to draw you into his arms of love. His thoughts towards you have always been filled with pleasure. So as you give yourself to experiencing the mother love of God, it will become perfectly natural for you to do what Father created you to do. That is to love others, to love yourself, and to love others. And you will then become an expression of storge love, which is acceptance and loving eye contact and affectionate touch and affirming words and all stuff that people's hearts are longing for. Even if you haven't had a difficult experience with your mum, you are going to meet people out there who have. And you're going to have to be the part that they can see on earth that reflects the mother heart of God. You're going to be the eyes and the mouth and the hands and the love that these people need. So we're going to play some quiet music and I'm going to read some prayers. So close your eyes if your eyes aren't closed, and just see the mother heart of God waiting for you with outstretched arms. Just waiting for you. We often hear of the prodigal son's father welcoming him home, and that's the right picture. But also, there's a mother waiting to welcome you home. He wants to shower you with the affection that your affectionate mother love that you've always longed for. Remember that the mother heart of God is received and experienced through forgiveness and repentance. Now, these prayers are based on the prayers from Jack Frost's book, Experiencing the Father's Embrace, and John Sanford's Healing the Wounded Spirit. Now, if your mum is no longer alive, you're speaking about her memory, all right? When I do this thing about a mum, you're not speaking to the dead, so don't start panicking. Just think about a memory. If your mum is alive, just picture her in your mind. And this prayer is actually more about you than your mum. Because by forgiving her, you are releasing yourself into the loving heart of God. So I'm going to read these prayers quite slowly and give you a chance to respond at any time you want to. So think about your mum, past or present. Mum, oh, I needed your comfort and your express so your love so much. I hadn't realized how much I needed it until now. But Mum, because of your emotional crisis, you weren't able to give me the love I needed. There were times I needed to hear your tender voice, but instead your words pierced my heart. There were times when I needed to see love in your eyes. I needed to see your love, Mum, even when you thought I'd failed you. There were times when I needed to be comforted and drawn close to you for a cuddle, but you weren't there. Oh, Mum, I forgive you for all these times because you didn't know what you were doing. I forgive you for not knowing how to express love to me in a way I needed it. I forgive you for not opening your arms to me and giving me a safe place and comfort. I forgive you for your inability to open your heart to me that caused me to not to believe in love and trusting in love. I forgive you for your inability to give me affectionate touch, loving eye contact, and the loving acceptance that I needed. I release you, Mum, from any of my resentment and bitterness. And I speak God's blessing over you. I honor you as my mum, the woman who gave me life and brought me into the world. Thank you for this gift of life. I commit myself to walk in an attitude of love and forgiveness towards you. So imagine releasing your mum and the memories of your mum, releasing her into the ocean of God's mercy. Any way you want to. You might want to put her in a boat. I don't know. Whichever way you want to do it, release her now. And your memories of your childhood, just release it into the ocean of God's mercy. Let it go. Now we're going to turn our thoughts now to Father God. Again, I'm going to read it through slowly, and you can say amen and yes to any part as we go. Father God, I come to you longing to experience your comforting heart and your mothering heart. You are the only one who can meet the deepest need of storge love in my life. I bring my earthly mother to the foot of the cross, and I release her from any wounds and pains she has caused me. Father, please forgive me for any resentment and bitterness that I may have harbored towards her. And help me to walk in forgiveness and love towards my earthly parents. I confess I have turned to counterfeit affections rather than to seek you. That I have looked in the wrong places for storge love to fill the void in my heart. Some of the choices I have made have been wrong. And I repent from any unclean thoughts, fantasies, or lusts that I've allowed to breed in my mind and my emotions. Forgive me, Father, for not trusting in you to meet all my needs. Sometimes when we haven't had affectionate touch, when we haven't had our mother loving us. We look for love and affection in all the wrong places. And we continue to look for it in the wrong places. So if you want to talk to God about that now and ask his forgiveness, when he's waiting with his mother heart open for you and you choose to go somewhere else, just ask him to forgive you. Of course, these things open us up to spirits of lust and spirits that come to feed on this lack of storge love. Some of us comfort ourselves with food and then punish ourselves by withholding it. Because comfort is, you know, food, chocolate, that sort of thing is very, very comforting. So, come Holy Spirit. Come with your cleansing. Come and wash through each one of your children. Come and set them free. Claim freedom. Freedom. Freedom from counterfeit affections. Freedom from lusts. Freedom from unclean thoughts. Freedom from fantasies. Freedom from looking for love in the wrong places. And through the name of Jesus, we command these things to release you now, to be released. Let the love flow in. Let the love flow in. Forgive me, Father, for not trusting in you to meet all my needs. I come to you now and lay my head on your breast and rest peacefully, knowing that you love and care for me. In the name of Jesus. See, many of us believe that our lives are a mistake, an accident, and this has caused us deep pain. But from Psalm 139, we have seen that Father God has created us on purpose. None of us are an accident. Our mothers may not have planned us. Our dads may not have cared. But God knew us before the foundation of the world. And he knew who our mothers would be and where we would be born. You are not a mistake. You are a chosen child of Father God. And as the mother of the church, I'm going to pray this prayer over you as a welcome. As a welcome. You are welcome in God's world. So I say to each one of you, if you're looking at me, I'll say it to you. I say to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that your life is not a mistake. It's not a mistake. You're not a mistake. You're not a mistake. You are not a mistake. You are not an accident. You are welcome in this world. God made you out of love, out of the love that he is. He called you into being at the right time and the right place. He prepared a way for you, and he gave his life for you. You have value. You are worth it. You are a privilege to the world, a privilege to be known. You are not a burden. You are not taking up space that belonged to somebody else. You belong. You have a place. Belong. You are a treasure. You are a treasure. You are God's treasure. not for what you do. If you never did another thing, you are still a treasure. You are one of Father God's own children, and He delights in you. He delights in you. He delights in you. So as John plays, just let the mother heart of God enter into you. And He will give you the things your mum never could because she was hurting. So receive a mother's loving affirmation and acceptance pouring into you. Pouring in, pouring in, pouring in. Receive the nurture and the comfort. It's there for you. It's all yours to take. Receive Him playing games with you that your mum or your dad never had the time or the ability to play. Because no matter what type of mum you had, no matter how deeply she may have hurt you, God's unconditional love always remembered you. You were engraved in the palm of His hand. He has never forgotten you. And experiencing the mother and father heart of God is a lifelong journey. I hope you'll have a great breakthrough and understanding, but it's ongoing. It's an ongoing thing. But if we allow our hearts and our attitudes to soften and change, we will go deeper into the Father's love. Receive Him drawing you into a special place in His heart where you will never ever feel forsaken, forgotten, unloved, unaccepted. Enter into His rest as His affectionate love casts out all fear, all your fears. Come, Holy Spirit, and wrap each one of us in the precious mother's love of God. It is possible that some of you are mums sitting here and you're thinking, oh my goodness. So if that's you, really, you just ask God to forgive you and ask Him to come into the relationships that you have with your children. Yeah? So Father, for us mums, we can't always get it right, and I didn't get it right with my children either. So, Father, please come and help us. We release to you our children. And we release to you all the times when we haven't been the mums that we might have been. And we ask you to come with your restoring love and forgive us. And come and heal our hearts. We can't have that time back, but we can move in storge love now. So release, Holy Spirit, forgiveness over this room. Release forgiveness and acceptance. You did the best you could do. You did the best. It's what Father would say to you. You did the best you could do. And He's there for your children. He's there for you. So come, Holy Spirit, and comfort. Comfort the mums and the dads who might have. Yeah. So if you feel really that this is an area that you've made mistakes in, you need often to forgive yourself. So just in the quiet, just repent and then say, I forgive myself. for these mistakes. I forgive myself. I will not hold it against myself anymore. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. For there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. No condemnation.
More, Lord, just increase your power right now, right across the room. Just increase your power right now. Some of you need to forgive your fathers for not protecting you from the abuses of your mother, for not standing up to your mother or not calling her on the stuff. Why don't you just forgive your father and say, Father, Dad, I forgive you now for not protecting me, for not making home a safe place, for allowing Mum to get away with it for so many years. I forgive you, Dad. I release you. Yeah, thank you, God. And we just speak freedom now from everything of the enemy, every stronghold, every spirit of rejection. Right now, out you go, right now. Right across the room. Every demonic stronghold, out now in Jesus' name. Right out. Every spirit of lust, masturbation, pornography, comfort eating, right out now. Out you go. Comfort eating, out you go. Right out now. Anorexia, go on, out you go. Right now. We command freedom. Freedom now. Out you go, right now. Let the Spirit of the Lord bring freedom now from every false comfort and every demonic spirit that would drive that. Go on, out you go, all of you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bring freedom right now. We break that stronghold of food now in the name of Jesus. We break those stronghold of masturbation now. In Jesus' name, we bring freedom to receive comfort from God Himself. Thank you, Lord. And we just prophesy to these hearts, you will know comfort. As Paul said, we comfort others with the comfort we have received. Receive His comfort now. Oh, yeah. Every heart that's had a barrier to receiving comfort, even comfort from others, from your spouse, every barrier to connection with husbands or wives that's come in through these, we command freedom now to receive and connect intimately with your spouse, with your children, with your friends. Every barrier to true and genuine friendship, we break your stronghold now, right now, over these lives. Let there be godly friendships and intimacy with friends. Codependency, get off right now. Right off now in the name of Jesus. Lord, create an interdependent church of genuine connection and love. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes, God. Yes. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I just feel there's just strongholds of pornography and sexual deviancy and every other false comfort just going to be broken. Just that's you, if you've just done stuff that you're ashamed of to get some measure of comfort, just repent right now and say, Lord, I renounce those ways. Whoa. Just renounce them. And we speak freedom now from every form of sexual deviancy, pornography, right across this room. people have been bound for years. Freedom right now in the name of Jesus. Get out right now. Leave them. Hearts be open to receive the comfort of God himself. Thank you, Father. Pour in your love. Holy Spirit, sweep the house clean and release the love of God into that house now. Just receive his love now. Thank you, God, more. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. More. Yes. Some of you need to repent of attention seeking. And God's just going to bring freedom from that now.
Some of you will, I just want to pick up on what Simon just said. I just want to say that God sees you, that he's always seen you, Simon, and that and he just sees you.
Just repent of that now if you know that you've sought attention through wrong ways. Some of you need to repent of not seeking attention. You've hidden your whole life from your Heavenly Father, from others. You've just been in hiding, never shown your true heart. Just repent of that now. Father, we just speak as we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and wash us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us now, Lord God. Whoa, right now. Anything that will cause us to seek ungodly attention or not seek a right and godly attention. We speak freedom now from that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, more God, more of your power. Yeah, it's great. We're going to take a break for lunch there. If you are still receiving, just carry on. We can just take our lunch discreetly and just allow people just to keep soaking in God's presence. And obviously we'll be back at 2:30 for more. Let's thank John and Victoria particularly. Let's thank Victoria, Sherry, for sharing with us. Thank you. Awesome.